Greetings, grasshoppers. Are those goggles firmly upon your head right now? Is that cape clasped around your neck? Because we are going on an adventure today. We are going to go on an adventure with Mr. Milo Shapiro. And oh my God, I can't even wait, Milo. We're going to talk all about what drives him to be the coach. What inspires what he does, and some interesting ways that that our Milo gets engagement. So, Milo, you and I met a while ago, probably in a networking capacity, and I was immediately driven to ask you to be on the show because you're a compelling human being. I love your work in the world, and I want to shout it out to everybody. So, could you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Sure, I want to add a compelling human being to my testimonials, though, because only you would come up with that one. So I'm Milo Shapiro. I'm San Diego based, although nowadays that means so little, because I never step outside anyway these days. And what I mostly do is I'm primarily these days a public speaking coach, helping people who need to give presentations. The three main buckets are help, I have a speech to give on August 7th and I don't know what I'm doing, or I've got a presentation that I have to give a lot and I don't feel like I'm really connecting with my audience. Or every week I give a different presentation. It's never the same twice. I'm not trying to get it down perfectly. I just don't want to suck every time I do this. And I don't know how to put this together in a reasonable amount of time that doesn't eat up my life. I find myself kicking myself afterwards that once again, it didn't go well. So those are my three main buckets of coaching, although all kinds of odd things do come up as well.
Nice. And what, public speaking is a huge deal, by the way.
It is.
Not many people realize that what we are doing right now, it's public speaking.
Yeah. And every time you have to have a conversation with more than one person, or even a one-way conversation with one person, if you're trying to convey a message and it's not reaching your intended audience in a way that's clear, interesting, moving, potentially repeatable to others, you are not achieving your goals and you're not using that person's time or your own well. And what a shame, because our time is probably more precious than our money.
It really is, because time you cannot get back. Money, I know sometimes it runs a little dry for people, but you can always make more.
You have
Time, baby.
the time.
Time passes by, is
Yes.
what it does. And so, making sure that that message is not only clear but memorable, through speaking. And as you said, speaking can be one-to-one as well. A lot of us, when we become entrepreneurs, it's like, it feels like we're speaking into the void, that we're writing into the void, that nobody's really grasping the stuff that we're putting out there. And you're the guy who helps people put that all together.
Yeah, that void is a tough one. And YouTube and videos can feel that way, but even in a one-on-one conversation, the void stops. There's someone listening, ideally more than one person, because then your message is magnified. But if we can get that point to the point where we know someone's listening and make use of that, and that's at a networking meeting, and that's at a conference when you're in the hallway chatting with someone, even those 30-second intros and networking events. There was a woman, we used to get 1 minute in this particular group, and we would go around the room. This was back when Zoom was meant to go fast. We didn't know what this world was going to be yet.
Right.
And we each got 1 minute exactly, and she would stand up, and everyone would brace themselves for the fact that she would ramble for the full minute and never quite say what she wanted to, and then be told time's up. And you just saw the disappointment in her face when she sat down again and knew that she hadn't gotten it. And people kept saying to me, Milo, can't you help her? I said, yeah, I know I can, but she has to ask. So someone got the guts up to say to her, why don't you book an appointment with Milo? I think he, and she did, thankfully. And in one appointment, I'm not saying this always happens in one, but in one, I just helped her get a structure for how she could do it and not even repeat herself, because we've all seen that person who you could lip sync it along with them. They haven't varied a word in 5 years. It was a format, not the words, that gave her a structure. And the next week she showed up and she stood up and I saw everyone brace themselves. They didn't know she had met with me. And boom, she grabbed their attention. Boom, she hit her most important point. She summarized why she does what she does and where she's going and had a tagline and sat down in about 50 seconds and everyone burst into applause. And she said, "I know Milo taught me how to do that." And everyone looked at me. I'm like, I wasn't going to say anything because I can't tell someone's a client unless they admit it first. Just how quickly she felt empowered and confident because she knew what to do. There's this horrible belief that if you know English and you know your topic, you should be able to speak in public. And there's like 15 to 20 other things to know. And some people intuit those things. The so-called talented speakers are just people who intuited those things. The rest of us need to learn them, but they're learnable. If you come in with the right attitude and you're willing to try, I have just seen people really turn it around in 3 to 5 sessions.
Oh, man. And that's the thing, is that when someone just gets it, it's impossible for them to teach. And it's impossible, baby. I had a coding teacher a long time ago, but I had to take a coding class as part of my degree. It was my least favorite class. And this guy, I would ask him questions continually and he'd be like, "I don't know. I just get it." And I asked him what was going to be on the, he was TAing this class. And I said, "Hey, it's going to be on the midterm." And he's like, "I don't know. I just grab the sheets and I run them through the thing."
Well, luckily it's not entirely true that everyone who does something well can't teach it. And even though I'd like to believe I'm better than I was when I started doing stuff related to this in 1980, that now I do seem to have a knack for looking at people and going, what is it she needs to get to her next step? What does he need to do to take one step forward to be somewhat better? Then we reassess and build on that. And it's what I love about coaching. I mean, I think I teach a good class. I'll teach a class if they insist. But the bottom line is there's no way that that one size fits all format. If you've got 20 people in a class, let's just say that, for example, the most attention you can get is 5%. And then it goes down from there while the person's lecturing. But in coaching, every hour is devoted to how do I get Dave to be the best Dave he can be right now? What does Dave need to hear next? So just to choose two random examples, if Rick is bland and boring and nobody wants to listen to his presentations, and then down the hall in the same company, Tina is lively and exciting and fun and never makes a point, they don't belong in the same class, but their boss is likely to sign them up for the class that HR has on the list. But if I'm working with Dave, I'm going to show him how to make it the Dave show every time he's speaking and still within a style that he's comfortable, only push his comfort zone as much as we have to. For Tina, it's going to be about, you've got the energy. How do we create a through line that carries your point where you're trying to go? How do we balance your stories and data so that everything is sinking in for everyone and keep you on track? Maybe teach you how to rehearse and how to memorize so you don't go off, because she's probably not rehearsing if that's what's happening. And people don't know how to practice. They I've learned that all the time. Either they don't or they do it wrong. And we can cut down that time so they're more effective.
You're doing some awesome work out there, because people are so afraid.
Yeah, it feels great to see people go, "I got it," or oh my god, they applauded at the end. I didn't expect to get applause. Or people, I did an oddity. I had a father of the bride, 250 guests, and he was determined that this was going to be a big moment for him and his daughter. He was going to get it right. We worked together a bunch of times. And he said more than half the guests came up to him. That's like over 100 people said, "I've never seen a father of the bride speech like that. You had me in tears. It was like a performance." And he was just so proud of himself. And his daughter was so touched because she saw how much work he had clearly put into it. And it paid off.
There you go. I mean, just minor mic drop for everybody out there. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. It's not necessary. I mean, you know, speaking coach, obviously, but really the speaking is the mechanism, and you can mess with that mechanism and make it into kind of an awesome thing for that person. But it's about that connection. It's about touching somebody's heart and mind and inspiring them to do something or feel something.
And a lot of
It's
people think that can't work because my message is too serious, or my message is too data driven, or I'm just explaining how to do something. But if you open in such a way that you make them want to do it, to want to hear it, if they can follow you and go, oh, yes, oh, yeah, I could do that, it's all the difference in the world, even if it's really just the how to do something, to make them want it and get excited about it and know that they could go tell someone else based on what you said, because now they have clarity. Clarity is very empowering because people don't like feeling unsure about what they're doing.
Oh, well, and so many want to rain stuff upon you. Like all of the stuff that they've ever, they want to tell you step by step their 27-step system in 15 minutes. And it's like, oh, I feel for you standing up there. But holy moly, if somebody could get a hold of somebody like you first. Because adults actually remember very little, very little.
And they'll remember more of it if you can back it with stories that help put it in place so they get it. So one of my big challenges, and it takes a while, but almost everybody gets it, is share a little bit less, but do it better. You don't, like you said, the 27 steps. There's this sense of I will prove my worth by how much data I can throw at them. And if they've stopped absorbing it, you're not proving anything except that you didn't know how to connect with your audience. But if you shared eight of those points in a really profound way, to the point where they go, we have to have her back. Okay, then you get to do the next seven next time.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. I mean, I think I learned that. I think I learned that, from a networking. This was when we all did face-to-face networking all the time. I was at a networking here in Omaha, and a guy was he was giving us a 9-point system, and what he did was use baseball, because you've got home plate, three bases. Four outfielders, a catcher and a pitcher. Nine positions on a baseball team. And so he kind of related it to each one. And I found myself thinking back to his presentation and going, oh yeah, the pitcher does this. You know what I mean? So like sometimes, and that's just an odd example. But it's not about I have to appear like I'm an authority, because most people have that imposter syndrome. How do you get around to that imposter syndrome with people?
You can, there's a few different aspects to that cause that. So it's not a simple answer. One is, as much as possible, stick to the things that you really are comfortable with. So that way you're not going to feel like an imposter. You can actually qualify by saying, this is an area that I'm not as familiar with, but I want to share with you what X person says about this because it really resonated with me when I read this. So now you're explaining that it's in the context of I'm sharing information I found. I'm being a conduit rather than telling you I know that much. A little self-deprecation can help in terms of I don't have to look like I'm so perfect up here, so you can laugh along with me that we're all doing our best. You can include the audience sometimes to get great feedback. Like, that's something I wouldn't have thought to share. I'm so glad Dale said that. Those are a few ideas that come to mind as far as the imposter syndrome stuff.
Yeah, I know that that's a real stumbling block for people sometimes, and I kind of deal with it sometimes minorly when sometimes clients are setting up a podcast or whatever, but yeah, I mean imposter syndrome and just in general fear, just people fear it more than death, and that's absolutely true. It's crazy.
When you mention imposter syndrome, there's two parts. One is, who am I to be talking on this? And the other part is, who am I to be talking at all? I'm not a speaker, which is different than a subject expert. So let's go back to the question of the fear. The analogy I like to use is this. If you were a diver and you were on that high board and afraid to dive off, I could come up along the side of the board as your coach and talk to you about breathing techniques, relaxation techniques, visualizing success. But if there's no water in the pool, chances are nothing I'm saying is going to make you any less scared to dive into blue concrete because you're not set up for success. So I explained to people, we're not going to start with the fear. The way we deal with the fear is by dealing with the problem. So my first step is to get you off the board and teach you how the hose works and help you hold it and help you turn the nozzle. And eventually we fill the pool with the water. And then when you get back up on the board, you might have a little bit of butterflies in the tummy, but not much can go wrong. You're about to hit some soft water. The worst that can happen is you might, you know, get a little up your nose. But we've been through that. That's not the worst end of the world. So what's putting the water in the pool of public speaking? It's showing you how to have that right balance of stories and data, how to tell a story well, how to use your face, body, and voice more effectively so that you're likely to pull the audience in, where and how to use humor so that the program has a lighter element in places when it could be getting heavy, and all these different things that apply again differently to different people, and having good structure. I teach something called the 4 steps to successful speech structure. It's a fundamental of everything I teach, and people say, I'm not going to stare at that blank Microsoft Word screen wondering how to start. I'm just going to work the 4 steps. I'm like, yep, you got that for life now. So as people get good and get more confident and they hear a coach say that was good, because I'll tell you when it wasn't. So if I say that was good, people know they can believe it. And as they feel better, the fear goes away on its own. So we don't need to start there. I've heard of hypnotists hypnotizing people to be less scared. I'm like, you're showing people, you're making people feel less scared to give bad presentations. That doesn't sound like the right way to approach it. You should feel less scared because you know you've gotten good. And that's what we do together.
Yeah. I mean, people getting that at a boy or at a girl or, you know, whatever might be in between. I can't think of it right now, but, you know, people getting that sense of even one thing that they do right starts to build that sense of self-efficacy. And that's that water in the pool that you've been talking about. I love that water in the pool analogy, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
That is amazing. And just something that is so, it's just, it makes it real. Do you teach people how to come up with analogies like that as well, my friend?
I sort of do, but it's mostly got to be through example. So as we work on more programs together, especially my longer term clients, they start to come back and I'm like, where did you come up with that thing about bowling? Oh, it was kind of like the thing we did with the diving board last week. I'm like, yeah, but this time it came from you. So for a while, there tends to be a little bit of Milo comes up with the ideas more. And they go, oh, I see how you did that. And then eventually they're able to do it themselves. And sometimes it's not right off the bat. I got a call from someone about a year after I taught something. And he said, I just finally did that thing you taught me today. He needed to work on other skill sets before he felt ready to try that one. And when he did, he goes, you're right, it totally worked. But I needed to get the guts up to try that one. It was a little bit out of his comfort zone. He needed time. And that's okay.
Nice. Well, I seriously, out there, if you're within the sound of my voice and you're thinking about upping some skills, some speaking skills, you do not have to be flying around the country giving keynotes to want to be effective on working on your skills. I mean, those skills can be effective tomorrow on the next sales call, on the next group meeting, in your next workshop. People, you know, as AI, you know, does its thing, and y'all know I'm a fan of AI. I'm not a fan of how some people are using it as the easy escape button. And as some of that generated content comes out, the more people hunger for connection with an actual human being. And if you can be the person that is actually delivering that message that hits them right where they need to be hit right now, if you can deliver a message that is clear, concise, and maybe even leaves a little image in their mind, like the Milo's analogy of filling up the pool, your whole business will benefit from that. Your whole business will benefit from that. So get a hold of Milo, people. That's reading between the lines for you. Now, what do you, I always ask this because my people want to know, what do you do for engagement?
The big question. My business is a little different than others because I am implanting skill sets that a lot of people, once they've got those foundations, it's kind of like I'm the mama bird and I have to let them fly. And I will run into people years later saying, I'm still doing all of your stuff and I'm doing great now. And what can I say? I have to be happy for them. But I do have some people who I will touch base with and will go, oh yeah, I do have a big sales meeting coming up. Maybe I should run just book 2 or 3 sessions with you and really work on that one. So because people plateau And they don't realize they've plateaued because they think they've gotten where they want to be. And all of a sudden, I can take them up another level. So I try and stay in touch. I keep people on my newsletters. And as they comment, I touch base with them, things like that. But for the most part, it's more about, so how's it? Oh, I'm doing great. And do you have any referrals for me? Oh, you know, my new such and such, my new virtual assistant. She's not, so maybe I should point her your way. So I have a hotelier who's just recently pointed two more people my way. I worked with a woman who was doing a book tour, amazing book, Jennifer Coburn's book, Cradles of the Reich, about an amazing piece of Nazi history that most of us don't know. Horrible, but an amazing story she wrote. And she got so much better with her book tour stuff that someone said to her, "You're just so good. I hate following you on stage." And she said, "Well, I didn't start out this way. I got a coach. So now I have this next author." So it's that for me more than continuing to keep the same client in my life, although love when it happens.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that may be to some of the coaches listening, that may be a bit of a new thing, to a new coaching pattern. It doesn't always, it's not always about keeping somebody, you know, for years. It's not always about, you know, that. Sometimes it's about, let's start at the beginning. I'm going to teach you a few things, send you out there to fly. And when you're ready to fly back and start and you know, do more, I'm here. That is so powerful.
Another variation also is, what else do they need that I can be a conduit to? So if we got as far as we can, but I say there's something we touched on earlier on and I want to mention now, is that your accent is so thick that it's distracting. I mean, I love accents. They can be charming, but if it's a little hard to make out what the person is saying, now it's a distraction. Can I refer you to Laura for that? Or what's another one of the examples? There's something where someone is wanting to go out and out and write the book to go with what they're saying. Oh, have you thought about writing the book? Because I know someone that I'd love to send you to who helps people organize their books, or whatever it is. And in some cases, if I've developed a business rapport with people, sometimes there's referral fees involved. And I think that's appropriate if I'm working to create business for them, and vice versa. I get people who send people, you know, they're a coach in leadership. They're a coach in executive, whatever. And then the person has a speech. Well, that's not something they should just step out of their box and say, "I'll help you work on that speech." That's not their area. Send them to me. And will I steal that client? No, this is all I do. So I send them back when they're done.
Yeah. That's it. It takes time. It takes time to develop a network like that.
It does.
But once
20
you
years. I mean, after 20 years next month or the month after that, 20 years of the coaching and the business before that for another 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it does. It does take time to find the people who are, you know, are really, you know, rising tide lifts all boats type people, you know, who will partner with you in that way. But like, once you've got that, it's just magical.
And trusting your skill set. You have to do your homework. You can't just say, "Ooh, found another person to check that box that I can refer to get my 10%. It's got to be, I have no question referring people to Laura, because I've had so many clients come back to me and say, "What a difference it made." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, your accent's lower. Oh my gosh, you just said, I barely hear it now." You know, she knows what she's doing. So I'm comfortable giving her those referrals. Or people, sometimes it's not even someone's going to work with me. Someone will call me and say they want to work on accent reduction, and I'll say, "You've called the wrong person, but I know just who you should call." This isn't all supposed to be about Laura, but it's a good example of how those partnerships really matter. And I know that if she found someone who wanted to take that to a speech, she'd be sending them to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank you for reminding us. Thank you for reminding us that it's much more than just about us, that if I have a client and I know that they would be served better at this point by someone else, it's okay to hand that off, and it's okay to accept those things in return, because it's, you know, it isn't about me. It's about them. It's about them. And so many businesses, a lot of people out there singing the me, me, me song. But that's never been my song, Milo. That ain't your song either.
Well, I've grown up. I'd say 20 years ago, there were times I was doing things I shouldn't have. I tried to help someone with articulation at one point. And I can help with breathing and projection, but articulation, what happens between the tongue and the teeth? And no, I should not be dealing with that. So I should have somebody for that. Another one was job interviews. Now, I will say, if you know the right answers, I can help you say them well, organize your skills, say them with confidence. But if you want to know what the right answers to the question are, I'm sending you to Colby because he knows job interviewing. And I've never regretted having sent someone away because, yeah, it may have cost myself a little bit of cash, but it was the wrong cash. And, you know, it was the wrong cash. Something else will fill in that gap that I'm not spending doing the wrong thing.
That's right. Well, Milo, you have been an absolutely fabulous guest, and I know that my audience has learned a lot. Shed new light on public speaking, but also, engagement and partnerships. And thank you so much. Time is something you will never get back. You have just spent some time with us, and I want to say thank you. I want to appreciate you.
Thank you.
Where can people get a hold of you?
The best way is to start with the website. And it's just the way it sounds, no funny spellings, publicdynamics.com. And if you forget that, you can get there through miloshapiro.com. But publicdynamics.com will get you to the right part about coaching. And then there's a form there to fill out. And I like it that way because then I know a little bit about you before I'm actually calling, so I'm ready for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Any final pearls of wisdom before we sign off here today?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to something that I hear people say a lot, which is remember, it's not about you, it's about them. And in coaching, you can do that a little bit more. But with audiences, we are not responsible for how audiences came into the room. We don't know what they're dealing with at home. We don't know what they're dealing with at work. We don't know what stresses they have. So don't make it about them because that's too much for anyone to take on. So it's not about you, and it's not about them. It's about the message. And if you have served the message to the best of your ability, that's all anyone can ask. And that's what you've got to go out there and do.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Milo. We are
Always a
going to
pleasure.
sign off for this episode of The Quest for Epic Engagement, Grasshoppers. It's been a great week here in the Bot Cave. I've been doing a whole lot, been writing a little book coming out real soon. It's going to be amazing and fabulous about world building and brand building. We will see you next week. Next week, we will have hopefully been through the whole publishing business. I'll talk about it more then. But thank you again. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.